Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third edition of the NRL SC Talk podcast for season 2020. You would have heard Benny G and I go through a little bit of an intro and our first teams analysis through Cowboys, Titans, and Penrith last week. And this week, we've changed the guest up a little bit. He's been on this before, and you might know him as Semi Sonic. He's frequently posting top quality content on the website and has a massive fan base. Sorry, just reading off a script here. Anyway, then welcome back. Welcome back, mate. Nice to see you. How you been? Man.
Yeah, doing good. Excited to get back into it, actually.
Oh, yeah. So how was last year for you?
Rough.
Before we cut in. Yeah.
Real rough. Down year. I just fell apart. I don't know what happened. Just couldn't get anything right in the middle of the year. I think I sold Latrell before he went on his run. Started with him and he was subpar, so I went, I'm getting rid of this.
Well, everyone else out there, I'll thank you for it, I'm sure. I don't think I had Latrell. It was one of those ones where you're just like, he's so lazy.
Yeah, that's it.
As Joe Fitz would say, he's one of the laziest footballers ever. And as you say that, he strolls across for some horrendous...
He'll do nothing for 90% of the game and then he'll score like 45 in one play and you're just kicking yourself because I punted him early.
Mm. So we're here now to do a teams analysis of a few guys that aren't South Sydney. So we'll get into Latrell a bit more. The talk of the off season. So I'm sure we'll whinge more about lazy Latrell down the line. But for this pod, who are the teams that we're going through?
And
I've specifically got number one on this list.
I was going to say, obviously, you've put the Knights front and centre for me, so appreciate that. We've also got the Eels, Warriors, and we'll finish up looking at the Melbourne Storm.
A couple of very super coach relevant sides in there, a couple that we might skim over. I mean, if they weren't your side, we'd probably be done with the Knights in about 5-10 seconds. But
you might be surprised, mate. I think I might be done with them already.
Early days, mate. Long season ahead. So without any further ado, let's just get straight into it. So your boys, the Knights, I kind of want to hand it over to you. So firstly, what's happened in the off season?
Very little, to be honest with you. We lost a couple of key pieces from last year. And when I say key pieces, I'm not talking about Jesse Ramian. He sort of stood on the sideline and watched the back of Kalen Ponga for most of the season.
No love lost.
No, that's it. He's gone. James Garvey and SKD are overseas. Jamie Bure and Zach Wolford are still unsigned. And then we had a couple of retirees in Slade Griffin and Nathan Ross. But then... Danny Levi. Yeah, Danny Levi just the other week.
I was hoping it would be Granville. I was hoping the Eagles would pick Granville up. We could get Latrell, squeeze him in the jigsaw.
Almost a like for like on salary, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure, mate.
It's one of those ones. I don't quite understand it because Levi can play when he's allowed to run and decent defensively, but it just wasn't in the plans. So, I don't know.
He was slated. He was just going to be a bench hooker this year. Now that you've got, I guess we're going to get into the ins, and there's not too many of them, but...
No, not hugely, but, you know, Brayley is, I guess, the in for the Knights this year. He's going to... They're talking about him playing 80, but, I mean, that's an up from his last year's stats. He played about 67 last year at the Sharkies, but little brother nipping at his heels,
so. So I'm looking at the NRL.com predicted team, and they've got a four forward bench here. So I've got Connor Watson at lock and no bench utility. So they're obviously expecting Brayley, who can play 80, to do that.
I don't think that's right, actually. I think Barnett will play at 13 with Sione on the wing, and Connor will play the utility role. But it's one of those things where they're kind of thinking that, well... Again, I'm not privy to the inside information, but just my thinking.
That's what you're here for.
Yeah, that's right. I'll get on the blower and see if I can think something up. But no, Brayley's going to play big minutes, and I think because they're talking about Watson playing at that 13, and I think it's simply because they need to play him somewhere.
Mm.
And if Brayley's playing big minutes, then you're not going to have Watson playing 5.
Yep.
Who knows?
Sure thing. All right, we'll get into them a little more here. So I just had a quick look at the draw. We didn't do this for the last couple of pods, but just for each team we're going through, I just had a quick glance at their sort of first 6 to 8 games.
Yeah,
so as we go through, we'll just... In terms of the Knights, I've got their opening draw down here as being okay.
Yeah, I reckon of the first 5 games, we're probably looking at 3 wins in the Warriors, Tigers and Cowboys.
What was their last team? That's in the win column.
Yeah,
win column. Oh, geez, easy early days, mate.
Yeah, it's almost a bye week, I think.
It's not 2018 or 19 anymore, but...
No, that'll be fun to watch, actually, with the new Cowboys team. You covered them last week. Mm. But yeah, they're going to be fun to watch with their ins.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? With the boys, it's definitely a brand new looking side. We're trying to get some spark in that back line that has been slower than a 100-year-old tortoise for quite some time. But we'll see. Hopefully Holmes doesn't take as long as Hayne did or other guys coming to brand new sides to click.
Hopefully
to
he does
click,
a little bit better than Benny Barber did for his last year.
Yeah, well, he's made it past Australia Day. So, I mean, that's the cutoff mark in terms of our recruited fullbacks.
Well, in saying that, he's doing better than some, isn't he?
Very, very fresh coming out there. But yeah, we'll get into one Raiders signing later on. But I think next pod. But just on the Knights, in terms of off-season injuries, they don't seem to be too affected.
No. Star Toa is recovering from, I think, finger surgery.
Cracking name.
Yeah, Stafford Toa.
Stafford.
Got Star on one side and Best on the other.
Bradman Best.
We're on the way up. The other injuries I had here was Mason Lino recovering from off-season shoulder reco, but should be back in time for trials. And Bo Firma, who was looking at an early to mid-2020 return from a knee injury, but only yesterday got granted a release to go up and join the Titans on a 3-year deal.
Ooh, the Titans. Yeah. 3-year deal, probably worth about $800,000.
Oh, by their standards. Stepping right into Jai Arrow money.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's Leilani Latu money there.
Yeah, well.
Now that he's gone, they've got spaces to fill.
Yeah, no, Firma was supposed to be a solid player, up-and-coming gun. So, like, looking at the Twitter responses and whatnot, the Knights fans aren't happy that he's gone.
Ooh, typical Knights recruitment. I'm sure there's a 40-year-old Super League veteran that you can come and fill in.
Yeah, Bo Scott back or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mez is back. Trent Merrin's back. So, just the flavour. So, just on those sort of young blokes, so... Who you got down as possible round one cheapies? I've got a couple here, but that's obviously NRL.com.
NRL.com. Theme. Who knows? Phoenix Crossland, it won't be playing.
Won't be playing?
Won't be playing round one. No. All reports, Kurt Mann's going to start in the 6. As I said, Brayley in the 9. Ponga, Pierce, the other spine, and then Watson, I think, off the bench. So I think Phoenix is going to have to buy his time. And it could only be 2 or 3 rounds until, they get sick of...
Deck chairs start getting rearranged.
That's it. We'll see what happens. But it was the same as last year. Ponga started 3 games in the 6 and then got put to the back. And so I guess they'll try some things.
Surely not doing that this year.
God, no.
It's Ponga in 1 and he's not getting touched.
That's it.
How good. What about, so you mentioned him before, Bradman Best. So Bradman he Best. Sounds yeah. like he's got the inside running.
Yeah, he's going to be a lock in my team.
Yep.
241K. He played 3 games last year and only scored 25 and 26 in 2 of them. Scored a try in the 3rd for a 60. But,
what a bastard. He's killed his price.
Yeah, absolutely. He jacked it up. But the thing is, he passed the eye test for mine. He's a strong runner and he's confident. So... You know, his first couple of games in, he's probably just feeling it out. And then, he's going to be all the better for another preseason in the system. And, he'll be there from round one. So lock him in your team.
Sounds good to me. All right. So we'll move from cheapies. Let's talk about some of the Supercoach relevant players. And I've got a list of 3 or 4 here. You might have some more, but I'll let you lead the way. So the obvious one is the number one.
Number one, Ponga. We just said he cut his price down at the start of the year. He only averaged 41 across the first 3 games. And then he just went on an absolute tear from round 4 to round 19, where he averaged something like 86 a game, including Magic Round, when we were all cuddling
fond
and
memories.
Cheering. And, good. It's a bit blurry by that stage, but yeah.
Everyone around us would have been like, well, not you because you had your Knights jersey on, but all of us, like me and my Cowboys, like, what are they cheering for?
What are they cheering
for? What are these clowns getting up? Anyway,
They just don't understand. I'm sure there's a few Supercoach guys out there.
Oh, yeah. Probably it's big enough now.
Yeah.
They would have gotten it.
The thing with Ponga is that he gave up his kicking at some stage, like goal kicking.
Mm.
Like he palmed it off to Mason Lino. And then, so that's obviously reduced price again. And he finished pretty poorly. So I think he's, you know, he's hopefully in for a big year. We need him for a big year. And if he's in for a big year with the Knights, he's in for a big year for Supercoach. So he comes in at about, what, like 100 and something K less than your Teddies and Turbos?
Yeah. Well, that's the big thing, because this year he's obviously not the dual 5'8 fullback that he was last year. So most people ended up running with the Teddy Turbo fullback combination, Ponga and 5'8. And that was easy enough. But now, all of a sudden, he fills that logjam.
And
so,
it's not even just those three. You've got Val Holmes.
RTS.
You've got RTS. You've got Pappenhausen.
Yep.
It's It'll just be a massive gluttony of fullback options, and you can only got two spots to fit him in. It's just, and that's not even counting any potential cheapies that come in.
Yeah. So, I mean, even looking at that spine, like if I'm obviously looking at this not through, you know, red and blue coloured glasses, but I don't know if I like what I see there in terms of, I know that Mitchell Pearce and Kalen Ponga, when one of them seemed to go well, the other did. Yeah. And you saw that in their Supercoach scores. They trended together. But I don't know if I could see a lot of points through, you know, like a makeshift Kurt Mann at 5'8 and a rookie.
The problem,
not sort of a rookie,
the problem with looking at these teams with red and blue glasses is the red flags just look like flags. Mm. So you kind of gloss over some of their other, the big nose, but like, Barnett had a huge bounce back year last year. He provided a lot of go forward and some danger from that lock position. Fitzy was awful.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
I've got him on my list as relevant.
I rode him too much last year, but the thing is, he's 130K cheaper than he started last year. Yeah. He had a 62 and 58 in the 2 years, like 2018, 2017, and only a 48 last year. So he's underpriced in that regard. But, you know, if he can bounce back, he's decent. God help me, he's tempting me. He's tempting
he's
me.
He's a
again.
Nice price.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we finish on Ponga, so I mean, like, that's, he could almost be a pod. He's a big name, and a lot of people pick him up on that basis. But given the logjam, all of a sudden he goes from like a 40%, you know, everyone's got him, so they ride or die with him.
Do we have the numbers?
Maybe that 20 or 30.
Because, yeah, that's it. Everyone's sort of still, and rightly so, super high on Teddy. You know, he averaged something like 84. And Pappenhausen destroyed the competition. We'll talk about him a bit later. But when he played 80, he just absolutely killed it. And he looks locked into that again. So, I mean, those two are going to be taking up majority of spots.
Mm.
And so, yeah, Ponga could be a bit of a, yeah, as you said, a bit of a pod.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, a few games at home to start the year, but majority away. So for mine, that's probably going to sway me towards a Teddy Pappenhausen combination. But it's, you know, what are we, early days here? Got about a month to go, so it could be.
What's this? We're recording on like the last day of January, second last day of January, something like that. Yeah, we've got a bit of time.
Could be anything by round one, but as you pull up Ponga's ownership stats, David Clemmer. So he had a massive start middle of last season, tailed off a little bit with minutes towards the back end. The season he comes in, he's 617,000, so your premium front row option there in terms of price. What's your thoughts?
Like him, but he's now the second most expensive prop. He's the second highest scorer last year in the position, obviously, but he had career best numbers by like 7 or 8 points or something like that. Had to carry a lot of weight in the Knights pack, and can he do it again?
Yeah.
Or is he, like, to me, he's a bit overpriced. Not to say he's not going to be, you know, top 3-4 in the position, but yeah, it's a lot to pay.
Especially so early. So Benny G and I, similarly with a guy like JFH, Fisher-Harris from the Panthers. So he also had a pretty
big year
for Supercoach, especially, and his minutes as well.
Yeah.
And you look at a guy like Clemmer, that 617K is what you'd expect to pay someone who's regularly pushing out, I'd say, 60, 65 minutes, given his he's pretty much a base.
Well, that's it. You're looking at your top locks of the competition sort of thing, who are only going to rest, you know, 10 minutes or so either side of half time. But yeah, for a prop to continually do that, it's asking a lot. And he's not a baby anymore. He's been in the system a while.
Yep, but a lot that's of it. And if it is, depending on how the formation of the bench goes, if it's a four forward bench possibility, you think it's more likely to have a utility. But if it is four, then that probably rules him out. Well, you just know there's minutes drawing up.
Yeah, I mean, saying that the utility, I think the option is playing Watson at that 13. So I guess it is technically a four forward bench, even if he is there.
Yep.
He's going to rotate through that pack somewhere. But, you know, you've got to fit in guys like Glasby's going to be coming off the bench. He's the prop there. SASA will be there as well. So they've got a pretty strong four prop rotation. And then there's even the other Saifidi, Jacob, who's, you know, been hurt a lot since. Is he the one that got his leg broken?
I think it was Jacob.
I think it was Jacob, yeah. So he's kind of returning now. He's only 210K, and if he jags another bench spot, you know, shout out to Nick. He could be one to watch as well.
One to watch. Oh, it's the first one to watch. Year. I think so. Oh, I don't know if we drop one. I'll have to be corrected in that case, but well done.
Thanks.
Early days. Yeah, good. So Dave Clemmer, a bit of a iffy one there. Next one on my list. You might have had him as well. We talked about him, and it sounds like you're almost tempted to go him again, but Lockie Fitz.
Yeah,
cut I'm price, 440K.
444, something like that. Yeah, and he was, you know, over 600.
That's it. He'd averaged 58 and 62 the two weeks prior, but that was with a lot of attacking stats.
A lot of attacking stats. But there was a lot of times last year, and I know because I watched him closely owning him, but a couple of times he got pulled down within a metre of the line or something.
Dropped the ball over the line, maybe.
You know, Ponga would hit him on a short one and it just bounced off his chest. So I don't know whether it was like a third-year syndrome or something like that, but he just fell away sharply. And I think in the preseason last year, I said to Nick, I wouldn't be surprised to see him cracking 65, you know,
PBG. Especially with, you know, if Ponga's feeding him good ball and he's just a regular combination. That's how these second rollers
I made the joke earlier about Ramian, but like Ponga does, he just goes left. He goes left all day and, you know, Fitzy running off him.
Mm.
You should be jagging stats every couple of weeks. It just wasn't there last year. So, yeah, I'm tempted.
Do you think he'll still get 80? So he's obviously been the 80-minute player for a couple of years now.
Yeah, he's been the 80. And Sione on the other side, who's always a concussion risk. So I guess if he gets hurt again, Lockie will still keep his 80 job. It's hard to say. I don't know what the bench is going to look like. You've got to fit. If Guerra's on the bench, he's going to be playing, you know, 30 minutes or so. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking with new coach and whatnot. I don't know what's going to go.
I forgot about that completely. Yeah. Brand new coach. So that's why we said last week it's sort of a fallback line, but the trials are such a good way to see just where they're leaning with some of these combinations.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You know, who are they likely to put off the bench? Who's going to get big minutes?
Yeah, and say Simpson's got, you know, he's had the tutelage by Bellamy and the tutelage by Robinson. So he's had some good tenure, some strong history and knows some systems. So it'd be interesting what he tries to put in play.
Hmm. I'll keep an eye out, but Lockie Fitz, he's at that tricky price.
He's really
but
tricky.
We know, as you say, he's 600K plus at his best. And he definitely wasn't last year.
He's kind of in that mid-range price, but...
And sometimes you need to fill those guys in.
Yeah, that's it.
Fall and gun. Great term for him. I've got one on my list. Does this name look familiar to you as a possible super coach relevant option? Do you have him on yours?
I've got him on my list as an avoid.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go... How about we just do a pro and con?
Go for it.
Kurt Mann, I've got him down here, 287K, fullback centre wing dual. Last year, he was just all over the shop in terms of where they played him.
Well, there was the stage one point last year, you could have made the argument that he could have been a quad position player.
Yeah, they just flipped the coin and found fullback and centre wing. Could have been hooker, could have been...
Fullback. Yeah, fullback sometime. So, yeah, but, I mean...
But he has, so for mine, so I'll jump quickly into the pro. So... All those games last year, just a massive mix. I'm just ignoring that and focusing on his position that looks like being 5'8".
Yep.
So standing outside Mitch Pearce this year. So last year when he played at half, he had an average of 42, and he's currently priced at a 31.
That's 31. So that's a decent price rise, but...
But the issue for mine is obviously, and I'm sure you'll get into it, is just where is he actually going to play for the whole year?
Well, we said early on, like, Phoenix Crossland's sitting there just behind him. And if Kurt Mann has a down game or two down games, you've got a ready-made half, 5'8", just sitting there waiting to replace him. So you can start with him at 288, or you could start with a Jerome Luai,
yep.
who's, what, 270 or something like that. George Williams is 330K at the Raiders. So there's guys around that price range who almost look like they've got their spot locked up and potentially better attacking guys.
Thing as well for me is that the centre wing duel. So fullback, you can write that off. There's better players there. But centre wing, it looks a tricky position in terms of cheapies and stuff this year. So filling that out.
I'm staying optimistic that we're going to get these cheapies rolling through, the Tommy Talaos.
It always happens.
You always can get someone.
There's always some random teamless Tuesday.
So I'm going to stay optimistic. And if they're there, I'm not picking, man. I'm just going to stay clear.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Last one on my list, touched on a little bit. I don't know if you've got Connor Watson.
Yeah. Again, I got him as a void just because we don't know where he's going to be playing, what sort of role.
Yep.
Is he going to come on and play 15 minutes as a utility hooker? Is he going to play in the pack and just get his head taken off first tackle of the game? Don't know.
He's 501K.
500K. He is a dual hooker, but...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You've got Brayley there already taking up one spot and then potentially a gun.
So, you'd be slotting him into your 5'8".
In your 5'8". Then we just
maybe down the line, his price levels out and we see exactly where he's playing. Because he's a base stat beast.
He is. When he gets on, and he's an attacking gun too when he's allowed to run. I got him in draft comp, and so I was stoked to see his delegations, but just I don't know what he's going to do, where he's going to play.
Definite wait and see, especially that price. So Connor Watson, a definite void. Well, that does me for the Knights. What do you got? Anything left?
Just Startoa. I wouldn't be surprised if he's fit and healthy. I wouldn't be surprised to see him starting over Mogga in the centres there. They're priced about the same, but I don't know. I'd feel a bit more confident in Star at the moment.
Okay, fair enough. So one to watch down the line. One to watch.
One to watch. There it is. We're going to drop it off.
Before we move on to the next side, Parramatta, tip for the Knights for the year. Taking the glasses off. Where are they likely on that side?
Where are they going to fall? Oh, Jesus. You put me on the spot.
Actually, Joe Fitz last year, and depending on where you think they're coming, when he had Lange or he and Wenon did their early season pod, they had a stake bet, Bulldogs v Cowboys. So Joe was Dogs, Lange was Cowboys. So for the entire year, it looked like the boys would manage to finish above the Dogs before their rare turn of form at the back end. So if you're willing, how about we drop the first stake bet of 2020?
Right, let's do it.
Cowboys v Knights.
Cowboys v Knights, let's do it.
Heard it here first. We'll be back to forget all about that it doesn't end well. Could be a race to the bottom there, but
play the Cowboys twice this year. Knights v Cowboys play twice, and that could go a long way to deciding the stake bet. So
early windows, how good. Alrighty, so moving on to the next team that we have here, and everyone's favourite, Parramatta Eels.
Man, how much Supercoach do they have in their side?
There's a fair few more Supercoach relevant players I've got in my list here. Huge. But I guess the ins and outs as well are quite extensive, and also pretty, the outs are building up. So I might just go through the outs. So Bevan French, I think he's off to Super League. Greg Lel... Oh, I'm going to butcher the name. It's the first of the year. Lelea Suau.
Yeah, I'll let you take that.
It's gone to the Gold Coast.
Greggy L.
Yeah, a few others. Kaiser Pritchard, unfortunately, retired very young. Sad story there. He just couldn't.
Tough break for the guy.
Yeah, horrible run with injury. Tepei Moroa, Matt McIlrick, and Timmy Manor. Timmy Manor's retired after a very long.
McIlrick retired. Moroa's over in Super Rugby.
Super Rugby.
Yeah, right. That's what I've got.
And Maori Ma'u off to the Huge Super League. Loss. Yes, I mean, in terms of Super Coach relevance, he's definitely the one there. And then one on the ends that sticks out.
Regan Campbell-Giller.
Yeah, big Regan Campbell. It was actually Hayes Dunster.
Oh, right. Okay.
So Hayes Dunster, Rhys Davies, Sam Hughes, Wonga Blake from last year getting signed mid-season. As you said, Regan Campbell-Gillard coming to firm up the pack. But the big one there is the off-season signing from the Tigers, Ryan Madison. So out goes Ma'u, in comes big Maddo.
Absolutely, so ready-made replacement.
Don't know what the Tigers are doing there, but let another one slip. But
well, Maddo just threw his toys out of the cot. Yeah, it sounded like
it was all... it wasn't getting... I assume it's contract-related and...
You wanted more money. Played well. I played well last year. I want more money.
Yeah, I mean, very early doors for him too. So yeah. I don't know if you can be... But that's 2020, isn't it? Like, well, the way...
You'd have to wonder, like, if he had a down year and the Tigers turn around and go, we want some money back, would he be like, yeah, no worries.
Yeah, what are they going to say? Well, very interesting times there. But in terms of their opening draw, so for the Eels, I had probably the best of the lot we're going to do over the next couple of podcasts. I had excellent. So... Bank West put them last year. 3 or 5 games to start. That's huge.
Yeah. And against winnable opposition, even home and away. Very winnable.
Titans and Cows in Queensland 2 weeks in a row, around 2 and 3.
Yep.
But give a very good early gauge of the Eels' form, because everyone sort of expects them that a decent year last year. Obviously didn't kick on to where they wanted to be, but especially at home.
They had a huge highlight for, you know, you and me in the postseason.
58-0.
Beautiful.
Wasn't it? We'll get some hate mail if we talk too much trash about a certain Brisbane team. But
I'm going to give out my address. If you want to send me some Broncos hate mail, send it right to me. I'll use it to dry my tears.
And yet we live in Brizzy. That's the thing. That's the conundrum there. So we've got a surrounded by somewhat loyal Broncos fans, but we always got to... dig the boot, and it's all good fun. But I don't think I've ever enjoyed a football game that didn't involve my side as much as I did that one.
Yeah, they should have maybe left the pokies until after their game.
Oh, yeah, or at least worked out what time they're actually going to be running on the field.
Yeah.
I think as long as they get the game day strategy right, you never know. Maybe just hit a few features, just keep going. We'll see what we do. They're actually the very last one we'll do on the next pod, but we'll get into our favourite Frizzy Broncos. But
we'll keep that one short.
That's what this Parramatta side can do. And you look at, as absolutely. We said, some of those outs and some of those ins.
Yeah, and especially at Bankwest, they were just dominant there last year. And just, I mean, they were a tale of two sides in some points where they were horrible away from home. And you know, we went to Magic Round. You just brought in Gutho.
I brought in Gutho, but also had Cameron Munster. Yeah, okay. So on one hand, I had Wilfred carrying on with me because he's got Cameron Munster. And then on the other, it's me and Wenon complaining. Who was this player that got subbed? He had a... was it you and Aitken?
Yeah.
Someone like that.
Yeah.
Zach Lomax.
Lomax, that's right.
He looked like he was finally ready to break out, and then next minute, I can't see him on the field. Oh, he's warming the bench. So he and I were shedding some tears, him over Lomax, me over Gutho, but long way away, that one. But, yeah, so, I mean, for mine, this Eels side is very, very super coach relevant. In terms of injuries, it's not... a great deal. Campbell Gillard's had an elbow injury in the off season. He looks good for the trials. Micah Sivo, hand issue as well as some off field.
Micah Sivo is technically still on bail.
He's in the country, so he wasn't allowed out initially, and then changed something in his bail terms, and he's been allowed to leave.
He's come back and he's training. I've heard he's training again, but technically still on bail and.
Legal.
See how that plays out.
Legal saga aside, could be a mid-season trip to Fiji potentially. And Parra aren't playing there, but we'll see. So he's one to keep an eye on in terms of his off-season. But in terms of injury, he looks like he's back for the trials. Wonga Blake's had an off-season shoulder reco, and there's quite a few of them.
Yeah,
he's doing a little injury run through, and there's a lot of shoulder recos going on.
Yeah, I think it's just a time to get cleaned up.
Yeah,
hitting the big boys in the 25 weeks of the year.
So Wonga Blake looks like he's right there for round one. So yep. In terms of their side that they'll trot out on the field, I couldn't see any very strong side. Yep.
The only cheapie I've got potentially, and it's my turn to mangle a name, is Stefano Udokamanu. He was in the development squad and just signed with the Tigers for next year, but instead of releasing him a year early to start playing there, the Eels promoted him to the 30-man squad. So it says to me that they want to put some minutes into him this year. Right. So I don't know whether that's from round one or not. Stefano.
Stefano.
Yeah, Stefano Steph. U.
Big yeah. Steph. Alrighty. But outside of that, I couldn't see much. No. That side looks pretty locked in for mine in terms of who they've got. So moving on to Supercoach relevant players for them. So top of my list, it might not be picked in a lot of sides, but King Gutho. He's always going to be floating around there. He's 532k, so puts him more the mid-tier, I would say, range for fullbacks, given some of the options we have there. Obviously had a bit of an up and down last season, so we thought he just looked like kicking on, and then when I bought him, he regressed slightly.
He had
slightly
a solid 10.
Did he crack double figures?
Yeah.
Stuff cheering. Yeah. But yeah, he had a few good games at Bank West, but a lot of the points seem to be going through a rejuvenated Mitchell Moses.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly.
Gutho spent time at hooker as well while Marty's
off the
field.
That's true,
Just weird stuff like that for him.
Yeah, he kind of got chopped and changed a bit, and it affected his output. But
any love for him at fullback? I mean, I'm not probably not looking at him as a genuine option.
I haven't looked at him too much simply because he's only fullback this year. But I guess
that's another good point.
A pro for him is he does have the round 16 bye, so you could play him through the first bye round and then trade up to someone who's playing that second bye. A lot of the bigger names will be either playing Origin or on the bye in round 12. So I mean, there's I guess a strategy there if you want to play it that way.
Are we bye planning already?
Oh, man.
It's not even round one.
I got to do something because I was awful last year.
Yeah, I think everyone was in the same boat. So Gutho, probably not an option, but pod hunters out there might see that start to the season and be a bit keen.
Banyo will have every one of these guys in his team.
He'll have Daniel Alvaro.
Yeah, why not?
Coming off.
He won't even be playing, but he'll be on the bench somewhere.
Mike Acebo is sticking with the back line of the Eels, so massive last season.
Yeah,
is it second year syndrome type?
Who knows? I think there's probably a natural regression there. He was the top try scorer of 2019. He had something like 22 across the stripe.
Yep. I think he was equal. He might have just pipped Mamala. I can't remember who got there at the end, but that was a race.
It was. It was tight to the end. But he looks. And even when he's not scoring tries, he's putting guys on their ass.
Yeah, bend.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Blake Ashford probably still got the imprint on his chest.
Yeah, that's it. It's got a big permanent tattoo right there.
Mm.
But yeah, he looks good. Looks like, you know, Rodrada 2.0. But
yep.
I don't know what you can...
Huge price for a centre wing and a
winger.
Well,
yeah, that's it. There's other guys you can get in the position for cheaper. They're probably not going to do as well, but they also don't have a court date.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Off-field drama, possible second-year syndrome.
He's the kind of physique that is ready. Mm. Like, he'll be able to handle...
He's not a young kid, eh? He's mid-20s.
Big dude. And so he's not going to... It's not like he has to put on muscle to continue playing with the big boys. He's not beating people with speed. But, yeah, he's a second rower playing out on the wing.
Mm. He's a huge boy. Well, that's just 2020 rugby league, isn't it, I guess? It's just massive units all over the field. So, Sivo for mine, if you're wanting to fill out your centre wing with a genuine try scorer, he's the type of guy you get in, particularly with the Eels.
Yeah,
as attacking
at the
unit.
Top end, and we'll talk a little bit in the next team, but in the top end of centre wings, you've obviously got Latrell, who we spoke about earlier, and you've got Sivo and Mamalo. And I would take Sivo over Mamalo every day of the week at the price range.
Price disparity is not too much there. So.
No, Mamalo is more expensive either.
Yep. I agree. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of question marks about Sivo, but if he can sort the off-field stuff out, could be a goer. His wing partner, Blake Ferguson, slightly cheaper at 506K, but had a bit of an injury-riddled
He did. He, last... he got hurt on 10 in round 5.
Yep.
He got He scored only 31 in that demolition, that magic round, and he had 28 versus Manly to finish the year. So those are really low scores for what we know Fergo can do. So I guess, is there room for improvement with him?
Yeah, I mean, it's at such a high price.
It
especially at the centre wing. So even if he does go on a tear and you miss out, at the end of the day, given he's starting on such a high ceiling, then yeah, are you really going to miss the boat?
And that's the thing with centre wings. They'll have their ups and downs, won't they?
Like, yep.
So those top guys will come back to the mean and, you know, you can trade up when they drop.
But for mine, it's, if you want an eel, I mean, I'd probably be going Sivo just based on Fergo's injury history. And
outside back?
Yeah.
Because I say, if you want an eel, I'm looking at Matto.
Oh, I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not. We'll pros save, and maybe cons? We'll save him for shall last.
Because
okay, I don't think we'll have... I don't think we'll disagree too much on this next one, but maybe we will. Mitch Moses.
Yeah.
So the breakout of last year finally huge. Had a huge yep. and consistent huge. Super coach.
1 year too late, I might say. I pulled him up in 2018 and he was
so many people had useless. Him never to play again, stamped him.
Yeah.
And well, then couldn't
I just
do
couldn't
it.
Trust him again. Yeah. I went a bit of a pod route in 2018 thinking he'd ball out and killed me then. Killed me last year.
The only thing, he's halfback only this year.
Yeah.
That's one downside. But outside of that, he hit a 62 average, his highest ever last season. 75% of his games were above 45.
That's
so
huge.
Even in his down it's games, consistent. he was still grabbing like the odd forced dropout, try assist through his boot or something like that, just to boost the score.
Well, when you've got Fergo on the wing and Sivo on the other side, all you've got to do is put it somewhere in the vicinity and they're going to get you a try assist.
Well, actually, that reminds me, one thing we didn't mention on this last pod, but a real change that could have Supercoach implications is the new rule around the attacking or the defenders attacking
cannot tackle
players in the air.
So
previously you could defend your line and wrap the guy up if he's in the air like a Daniel Tupo or Siva. That's like the only way you could defend
that's
it.
Right.
Wait for them to go up and catch the ball and then try and wrestle them down in the air. But this season that's out.
Damn.
Immediate penalty. So, bean is balls
it,
on the wing.
Interesting to see how it plays out because, again, penalty in the process of scoring a try is a penalty try. Is this going to be played that way? It'd be stupid to be played that way, but just throwing the question out.
I don't know if they'll say, like, I can't make a call that he was definitely going to get there, and maybe it's a sin bin or something like that.
I think it's just, you've got to just play it as a penalty because otherwise it's guys are just going to be kicking to the wing and they're going to be penalty tries.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not sort of the rugby league we want to see. You want to see tries through the hands and all that, but this rule change has me a little worried that we could just end up seeing the only halfback attacking player kids learn is the bomb to the wing.
Well, it's already sort of going that way. You're getting into the fifth tackle, sixth tackle within the 10-yard line. 10-yard. I've been watching too much NFL.
It's NFL season, isn't it?
Yeah. Super Bowl this Monday. Pumped.
What's that?
Super Bowl is this Monday.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. So get as many as the NRL Grand Final?
It's probably comparable
neck
to the size of country.
Yeah. I mean, if you add in like streams and stuff, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, true.
But, all right. One to look out for.
One to watch. But, yeah, so they're just getting close to the line and usually bombing at the moment anyway. So, as you said, you want to see guys tacking the line, taking it on, putting the ball through hands, and it's going to be a bit less of that this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a guy like Moses, he's got such a good kicking game, then I can't not see him try to exploit that. But
in saying that, Moses is one of the few halfbacks that will run. He
loves
to run.
Yeah. And if he's confident too.
Yeah.
And obviously after the season he had and a lot of unfinished business at this Parasite.
And what,
but then again, like, what Moses are we going to see?
Well, that's...
he's had one season and we're already sort of talking him up. I mean, I've got him penciled into my side and
there you go,
halfback there. So, I mean, I'm riding the wave, I guess. But, one season out of... God, how long has he been?
He'd been around a while.
Four now,
yeah.
2012,
and he was the next coming of Christ at West Tigers until they got rid of him.
Yeah.
But the one thing, like... As much as the try assists and the attacking game's there for Moses, he's also kicking goals, so he's got a solid floor.
Yep. Nails.
And because the Eels are a high-scoring team, so, he's always got some points coming his way.
Yep. Great points. So I think you and I seem to be both on the same Moses page.
Yes-ish. I won't be playing him. I'm not starting him, but, yeah.
that Bank West start to the year has me swayed. Well, again, so yeah. I've got to get an eel in there somewhere, so I reckon he's the go.
That's fair.
Quick one on Nathan Brown. I have him down here. He's obviously formerly Supercoach relevant, but had a horrible run with injury. Injured himself in round one, did the pec, wasn't back until round 14.
I had him then too. That was awesome.
I don't know if I did have him, but I mean, it would be one small win in a season of horrors. But anyway, with him, he's 550K and he's locked into second row only. So there's not a lot of room to move with him, but we do know what he can do in the game and his ability to bust tackles and offload and just get through base work. But I'm a little worried now, given the quality of players that he's got around him in the forward pack. Are the minutes ever going to go back beyond the sort of 60 he would have averaged last season?
Yeah, Brownie's the kind of guy he's pumping out a 1 PPM. So if he's getting 60, he's scoring 60, which is what happened last year. He played 11 games, had 58 minutes per and 59 average, including that 20-point game to start the year. If the minutes are there, then, yeah, he's going to be a Supercoach gun because he doesn't need the attacking stats. He just tackles his ass off and puts up hit-ups.
Almost like two runs a set and stuff as well.
He's Gallon-esque in that regard. But, as you said, they're going to have... They got some decent guys on the bench they got to get on.
Yep.
But looking at the NRL.com and my own predicted 17, it's a four forward bench. You got Reid Mahoney playing 80.
And that's the big thing. If it was three forwards, then all of a sudden he's 65 plus.
Yeah.
But when you're sharing it around with quality players.
But Brownie also has that ability to go into dummy half.
Yeah,
when Mahoney comes off. Obviously his hit-ups go down, well down then, but you know, you can get a few more minutes that way.
Hmm. So yeah, I guess that could be misleading though, if you're seeing him having big... It's kind of like Gutho last year, like he was filling in at that spot and it just completely dries up the Supercoach scoring. But for a guy like Brown, that keeps him on the park, who knows?
Well, that's it. He can just tackle all day, so it'll keep him on for another 5-10 minutes and you'll get another 5 or 10 tackles.
Mm. I guess for mine, early days in the Supercoach year is where you're trying to make your money, and at a 550k price tag, I don't think a lot of room to grow there for a guy that I wouldn't consider a season long keeper.
Well, again, we talked about Fitzy earlier, and you're saving 110k by going Fitzy, who can jag some attacking stats and rise in price.
Yeah, and if you're given last year's his worst year in quite some time, if he still manages to be priced at a 440k, maybe he's reached the floor for an 80-minute second row in a side with attacking options.
For my night team, I really hope that's his floor because he was woeful.
That's exactly right. So for mine, Nathan Brown's probably a no-go at this early stage, but see what happens with that bench rotation. He's definitely reliable enough. But
yeah, I'm keeping an eye on him through the preseason. I want to see how it plays out. But
all right, so moving on to the guy, the pro and con for this particular team. So Ryan Madison, as we mentioned, brand new recruit for the Eels. So you're a pro. I'll let you take the floor.
I just think he had his breakout year. He stepping into the same role, which saw Manu Ma'u average something like 400 a game at the end of last year.
70 plus every week.
And that was without tries. I think Ma'u scored 3 tries for the year or something. And
yeah, he got a few random line break assists and a few other things, but it was mostly base from Ma'u.
Yeah,
out of nowhere.
Putting in the work.
And we thought because he'd signed and was out, but yeah, we're not talking about Ma'u.
His replacement. He's going to be sitting there and playing the same role, I feel like. And Madison's not a huge attacking guy, but again, he only had 4 or 5 tries last year and a couple of assists. So playing in an Eels team compared to playing in that Tigers team last year, there is the opportunity for a few more short balls from a Moses or a Dylan Brown, put him over the line. I think there's, if there's not growth, I don't think he's going down too much. And he's priced at the average 67. So that's solid.
Yeah. All right. So, for mine, I looked at the price tag initially and the fact he's locked into second row as well. So he's not a dual. So for mine, new team. So I just never know with these sort of guys, especially as we mentioned, the four forward rotation. So how minutes are going to go? Because you saw last year Sean Lane settled in. We weren't too certain what would be the go there. He ended up being an 80-minute forward. You obviously had Manu Ma'u, who's at the 80-minute on the other edge. Yep. But now that that's changed up and Mato's got a point to prove, so he's coming into a pretty established side. So it's just such a high price for that question mark. From what I understand the whole thing about upside and the difference between the Tigers and the Eels and the playmakers he has at his disposal. But for mine, it's too much of a risk early on. And if you hope, or you're sort of banking on those points, because as he's priced, he's got to be nailing a lot of base stats in these games if he's not getting the odd attacking stat here. And if you're surrounded by a guy like Nathan Brown, who controls the middle and gets through so much work
there.
That's
true. Yeah, Brownie just, as we said, tackles all day.
Yeah, and Mato last year did a bit of roaming. He was, I think, never named at lock, but he did play there during games and did a bit more of the dirty work through the middle. My worry with him is that all of a sudden he's camped on an edge, he's finding his space in the side, doesn't want to overstep the mark, so that's where he plays. And we all know that second row is, like, it's a struggle sometimes to get him base points above, say, 45 again.
Yeah.
And a guy like Mato can do it, but yeah, there's just a bit of risk there at the price and the unknown with the brand new side.
Well, to counter that, Sean Lane was relevant last year, Manu Ma'u was relevant last year, and they were both playing in each wing. Each edge.
Not at 600k price tags,
though. No, they weren't. But I say it's just...
But it's a good Eels side.
It's a strong side.
And it's a lot of money to tie up.
And it's they don't play one side of the field. They spread it around. So it's not like... Go back to the Knights. They play all left.
Camps, yeah.
You go to the Sharks, where SJ controls it, and they go all right. So the Eels play both sides. So, yeah, I'm almost... Not 100%, but I've almost got Mato locked in.
I think Benny G did as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's two versus one here, the guess so far. But anyway, Mato, see how he goes into trials, but won a lot of points to prove for him. Is there anything else on the Eels that you've got?
No, not really. I mean, as you said, there's no cheapies. We've covered all the big guys.
Yeah, agreed. No. Next team that we've got on our list here, and I don't think this one will take as long.
Yes, it'll be pretty
the
quick.
The New Zealand Warriors, poor old Nick's team here. So, looking at their ins and outs,
We all need to take a moment silence for Blake Ashford. He's finally retired. He's gone from our game. It's a sad day.
Yeah, well... He was just about to break out into Supercoach, I reckon.
Yeah, that classic 13 years... breakout. You see it all the time.
13 time lucky, but he's gone. Soggy Sayo, he's gone.
Overseas.
Was it 2018 GB? Yeah. Chris Sarte Sauce is gone. And I guess the sort of main one there,
the only one, let's be honest.
So yeah. Isaac Luke has gone. So opens up a spot for my boy.
Yeah, huge in for the Warriors.
Yes, massive. Game changer.
And so what round did you pick him up last year?
Well, it was the buy rounds. Yeah. I bought him a little bit early.
We should mention.
Just to shore.
Yeah, it's Wade Egan for all those listening at home.
W-A-Y-D-E. So I think I brought him in at a, almost bargain basement, 200K or so, and he ended up... I think he owned me about 30K by the time I turfed him. But the reason I got him in was because he was going to play the buy round. And then I think he did his peck or shoulder or something and missed that round. And then
perfect.
Obviously, that's just
that's perfect.
Supercoach in an absolute nutshell. Yep. But he moves to the Warriors along with Josh Curran from the Roosters, a young up-and-comer. Couple of rookies there, not a lot.
No,
so when
lot.
Wade Egan is the top of your list, struggling.
So I posted a piece today to the site, and that's exactly what I said. When he's your biggest signing, it's a sad, sad day to be a Warriors fan.
Yeah.
They're not getting any interest from any of, let's say, free agents.
They've tried. I think they tried for Pangai, maybe. They tried for Taumalolo a year or two back.
That kid from the Storm, Tino F. So he signed with them and then backflipped to go sign up the coast. So.
Yeah, can't take a trick, the poor Warriors. Nah. But maybe this will be the spark. No one expects them, and here they go. So in terms of their start to the year, I've got down tough. They're like in Australia, they're back to New Zealand. In Australia and back, so...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Five of their first eight games are over here.
Yeah,
across the Dutch.
I mean, and, you know, there's obviously the Knights to start the year. That's a huge, huge ask.
Massive
for them.
Game, yeah. Yeah.
God,
where am I going to be?
They get. Oh, everyone will be glued to the TV for that one. Then they head back home to play the Raiders. Again, that's a tough ask. And come back over and play Manly. That's their first three games. It's really tough for the poor guys.
Got the Roosters there as well. Both grand finalists at home. And then.
Well, I've had a look at it. So 6, 7, 8 is Roosters, Storm, Eels.
Yeah, I mean, without even really going too much further into some of their players there, that's almost writing them off as an option before we even start.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we'll dive into a few of the. They've got a fair few injuries here that'll somewhat of a super coach relevant. So. CHT, Harris Tavita, he's got a bit of a wrist injury, but looks like being back in the trials. Carl Lawton, he's trying to make his way back into the side for round one, but he's got a shoulder complaint that apparently won't go away. Nat Roach, horrible luck last season. I think he did an ACL. He's gone until mid-season. Jared Beal, done his knee as well, but he's looking at first month out. And another one that had a lot of interest last season, Jazz Tavunga. So
he was an absolute godsend in my side last year.
Yeah, constantly seemed injured, but managed to play through and unfortunately succumbed to, I think he had a bit of ankle clean-out surgery
something
in the off-season,
like that,
so he's not due back until it looks like round 4 or 5.
But
so.
If we can talk about your boy again for a second, you look at that list, Carl Lawton, Nathaniel Roach, Jazz Tavunga, there's his hooking competition.
So he has basically come in as your first choice hooker.
By default,
yeah.
is the starting number 9, and he'll get the fair share of the minutes.
Yeah, I mean, last season he played one 80-minute game, so he's got the potential to
stay on the park. He's got a 32 or something, did he?
Yeah. At 0.7 points per minute, so it probably would have been a good 40, 45, we'll see. And then he had a handful of 60-plus minute games last season. So he can churn it out, but in terms of his output on the field, I think he jagged a try in round one. He might have put a barnstorming forward over the line for an assist, but outside of that, he makes the occasional tackle, takes maybe one or two runs per week.
To start the year... 67 in 61 minutes.
Try-assisted, that one.
To finish the year, 81 in 70 minutes. Every other game I'm looking at...
Well, you can only take a man on his last game.
Yeah,
so
okay. Well, he's in form then. He's looking at the
He is in rarefied air.
Yeah.
So here comes bargain basement almost. 298K in terms of hookers.
That's it.
Hey, signed, sealed, delivered. Wade Egan, welcome back.
Wade Egan... And Blake Brayley, lock them in.
Yeah,
that's
so
your starting combo.
I don't see a lot of room to grow there. He'll get, if he gets 80 minutes, push 350, but then all of a sudden the tidal wave of returning utilities comes back.
Tavunga comes back in and starts stealing a couple of minutes there, and Egan is irrelevant.
Yeah, and then you've got Cody Nikorima as well, Harris Tavita. There's some conjecture about where they're playing this season that'll make trials all the more important for
those guys. Did they play the two of those guys together last year?
I think they played Nico off the bench.
Did
some
they rotate
games.
Nico through?
I know. I remember
half.
Harris Tavita played a couple of games starting 5/8 because he obviously started or came in rounds 4 or 5 or so and played starting there. But then during the year, he had a couple of games back. I think they'd benched Nico.
Yeah.
Not wrong. So they have run those sort of combinations before. But in terms of who's likely to start, I haven't dug around too much in terms of what Warriors fans reckon. But NRL.com reckons Cody's got it.
Yeah,
sewn up
and
Harris
sort of
off
how
the bench.
What I could find, I've got Nikorima starting at 6 as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if it went either way.
I mean, fingers crossed for Harris Tavita. He plays like 20-minute games off the bench. Gets that price down from 385, which is pretty hefty.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
And so I've got him... Well, I don't even have him on my list because he's right in that funny range and he looks like playing a utility role to start with.
Yeah.
You know, if anything happens to those starting halves, he's going to be a mid-season pickup
Yep. Agreed. I guess we'll breeze through these because we are we're almost at the hour mark. RTS. Logjam fullbacks, talked about him. What do you reckon? Just the one ton last year.
Just so in terms of top, it's just tier, consistent. He's just below. He only had 5 games below 50 and one more in the 50s. So everything else was between that, you know, 60 to 90 range. And he's just consistent, and but he's a big price.
Yeah, and that's it. And
it's not too much more to get up to a turbo.
No, you sacrifice a 300k second row for a 200, something like that. Yeah. Find the price savings elsewhere. So for mine, as much as I love watching RTS play, and he's sort of fun to own as a super coach player because he just always looks like he's on the precipice of a big break, and it all goes through him. You know, that Warriors side, he is the guy.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason that Mamalo did so well last year scoring tries is RTS fed him with a silver spoon.
Yeah, some really creative assists there. But for mine, I mean, that tough run tough to run. Start the year.
Yeah, I'd be looking out at RTS as a post-buy, you know, trade.
Great for the buyers. He's always, obviously, as a Kiwi.
The Warriors play that first buy round in round 12, and then, you know, you'll be able to coast home with him.
Sounds good. Ken Mamalo, you mentioned him just then. High price at 550k, but a try scorer. Yeah. No matter how the form seems to go.
Fourth most tries last year.
So he had a base of 35 plus last season as well. So
he's put in the work.
Yeah, out of really nowhere. Before that, he...
Well, he upped his career best Supercoach score by almost 20 points.
Yeah. And he doubled up on it. Like, he just found the line at ease, because that's tended to be where they shifted the ball in his combination with RTS. So again, he's like a Sivo. He's a guy that he's priced at a premium level for that centre wing position, but you kind of need guys that can rack the tries up.
You need try scorers. That's what the centre wing's for. But
you're just going to have a lot of cheapies.
If you get those cheapies, you can put in 4 or 5 of them and then maybe 1 or 2 of these top-ranked guys. But until those cheapies come through, I think you're better off playing for potential in that spot.
Great. Another one I had on my list here, just quickly, David Fusatua.
Well, I was going to mention him too. Speaking partner. Of potential, 346k-ish.
And he went the other way.
He averaged 37 last year after previous years of 48, 42, 51 and 52. But in saying that, he was playing outside SJ for those years. Yeah, so
big point there.
It looks like with RTS there, they're going left a bit more now. I mean, Fusatua has got he's had the runs on the board. If they can start spreading it both ways again, then he's interesting.
Only 5 tries as well. So, I mean, surely, we always say surely, but...
Surely. He can't get worse.
Can't get worse, eh? I mean, 200k cheaper than Mamalo, but for the shape of the Warriors' attack, there's obviously a reason for that. But so, for mine, he's one of those trickily priced guys, but definitely potential to go up if the halves can suddenly learn to play out that way. But that just about does it for the Warriors, for mine.
I'm not really interested. I've got Tohu Harris down here, but even then, not that interested.
Yeah, he's pretty highly priced as well. Locked in. I wish he was centre wing again. Remember those days? Those were beautiful. Hey? A litany of players there. Final side for this pod. There's a couple in here that
another strong
Supercoach
side.
Strong NRL side. I think they've won a few comps recently, or been in some grand finals at least. Melbourne Storm.
You love to hate them.
Yeah, well, I don't mind them. They always towel up the Broncos. So.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, I've got them, but I don't think we've beaten them since.
But that's the thing. I think I only ever go for the Storm when they are playing the Broncos.
Oh, they're easy to love when they just towel them up at Suncorp. So. Fair bit of movement, especially in the back line for them this year. I don't know if you've got the list in front of you, if you want to run through.
Somewhat. I've got Will Chambers gone. Solomon Okate gone. Curtis Scott gone. Brody Croft gone.
That was a bad call. Well, rare bad call, but
for the Storm, say they could have held on to that loose cannon and really made things interesting.
No one knows who he is in Melbourne, that's the thing.
Oh, that's it. Well, if they didn't before, they do now.
Alleged.
Joe Simpson also gone to the Doggies to play a bit more minutes there. But, I mean, we'll talk about that on the next pod. We'll get into the Dogs. And Billy Walters has gone to the Tigers to try and get a bit more of a run because he wasn't getting it behind Double Smiths.
Bit of a log jam in some of the spine spots there. So, in terms of the ins, nothing really of note. They raided the Titans, though. The poor old Titans cannot take a trick.
Riley Jacks, he was a Stormer before,
wasn't he?
Yeah,
so he's gone to the Titans.
Come back.
Max King, Branko Lee,
Branko, I saw that one coming late.
Interesting. I don't know if he'll feature too much in this side.
Hard to say. I mean, you look at their predicted 17, and it's you got Justin Olam and Marion Seve as the 3 and 4, so you're not, you know...
Shandor Earl got a fair few games last season on the comeback.
But that's it. They're not stalwarts, and and they don't have that position locked up by any means.
But I can't see a guy like Branko Lee, who does a lot of... You know, less than intelligent things on the footy field, getting a run to Craig Bellamy's side. But
great attacking player, but he is an absolute turnstile.
Can you imagine the blow-ups, though?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Can you imagine?
That'd be fun.
Opening draw for the Storm.
Sorry, one more in, if we can jump onto it. Momorowski.
Oh, yeah, that's coming out
today. Only happened today, that transfer.
That's actually gone ahead, at least.
Haven't heard definitively, but it looks very much like it's going to happen.
Yeah, interesting. So I wonder if he then, because Marion Seve is a big body there. I think possibly came up more as a second rower during the grades. I could be wrong. Yeah. But definitely seems like a name there that could make way if Big Mommy gets a run.
Mommy.
So they're trading Harry Grant for the season.
Yeah, also the Tigers were in desperate need of some hooking help. Yep. So they grabbed this young gun. And I mean, Momorowski's in talks to extend his stay at the Tigers, and you know, putting him in the Storm system for a year—that's not the worst idea in the world.
I don't think I can recall that ever happening in the NRL before. So it's breaking new ground. Good to see. Opening draw. So I've said 4 out of 7 games at home, including against the mighty Titans and Warriors. So that's pretty huge. And then a couple of tough games, which always seem to bring out the best in the Sharks and Manly, both away. So for mine, that's a pretty handy draw for them.
It's not bad. And you look at the teams they play twice, and they got Sharks, the Rabbits, and they got the Titans as well, and the Warriors. So it's pretty even. And I guess it's one of those things where if you're on the top of the table, whenever your draw comes out, it's going to be favourable. You're playing teams worse than you. So, the Storm always seem to be up there or thereabouts.
Mm. Oh, it's just for years and years, everyone sort of said, oh, this is the year they'll fall away. This is the year. But they're just fine.
Bellamy just...
Pappenhausen, where did he come from? They had Drinkwater. You think like Slater, Drinkwater, Pappenhausen, Jerome Hughes.
Yeah.
At one stage, we're all fighting for...
That's it. They let Drinkwater go because they had other guys that could play the position. Yep. Just Drinkwater's a starting calibre fullback.
Mm. He was first choice last year and then out of nowhere. I'm sure we'll dive into Puppy later on.
Yeah, but let's leave him for a
round
bit.
One cheapies. I had a couple down here. Likely to be very slow burning cows. So bench forwards in Tino F. He looks like he might have the inside running for one of those second row spots on the bench that Bellamy loves. And Tom Eisenhuth.
Yep.
The old dual second row centre wing. He's the AE nightmare turned into last season. But they're both starting. So Tino F is at 218k and Eisenhuth's 185, so not breaking the bank.
No, that's...
And they'll have a lot of love if they're named on the bench.
And it's one of those Bellamy things that he'll play them, but he'll only play them 10 to 15 minutes just to, you know, give Bromwich or the Nass a bit of a break or something like that. And just,
it's almost enough to... I remember last year, Tui Kamikamitha, I started with him, and he was as slow burning as they come, but managed to jag a try here or there. And pushed him up for like a 100k game or something.
Just looking at his stats, and he started off 30, 14, 23, and then jagged a 61 in round 4. So it jumped his price, you know, up 100k by, what are we looking at, round 7?
Mm, and I clearly spent that money well.
Yeah, easily.
That's my 18k.
Straight to Wade Egan.
Premium. That's it. So outside of that, the side looks fairly settled since last season. That back line just... Yeah, some guns in that. But we'll get into those straight away.
Yeah, we will.
So
let's
start with the norm. Like, who's been a super coach gun for a decade and probably doesn't need too much faffing on, but CS9, Cameron Smith.
Yeah, I mean, so many people are sleeping on him. You look at the team forum on the site, and it's either Cook or Coruscant.
Yep.
Or Brayley's there, obviously.
Wade Egan? Wade Egan featuring a lot?
Yeah, obviously. There's a guy by the name of JT something or other. JT 2017, I think it's called. He's in every one of his drafts.
Mm.
Smith's only 20k cheaper than Cook is. And he doesn't play Origin. The only question mark I have is, will he play a little bit more of a half role this year?
Yeah, that was big talk last year, wasn't it? That he's moving to that half role to sort of spare the body a little bit and keep him out of the grind of the middle. But they've rubbished it and said, no, it's definitely not what's going to happen. But yeah, it's a long season.
He's getting on. He's almost, 3-4 years past his testimonial match, and he's put some K's in the body.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a guy that has the desire to keep going just to prove everyone wrong. But he was rested a fair bit more than we're used to seeing last season. A lot of them were blowout games.
Huge,
You're always going to stick your best players on the pine at that stage. But happened quite a lot for him.
For me, if it wasn't for the Week 12 bye, I'd probably have him locked into my team.
Mm. That's an interesting point there. I didn't even look that far ahead. Glad someone has. So he'll obviously miss that bye. But again, so will Damien Cook.
Yeah, the Origin incumbent. Right. So. Well, Cook will miss both bye weeks. So say it just makes it a little bit more handy. If you have a round 16 bye guy in there, you just can, you know, set and forget. Just let him go.
Yep. For mine, I've started him ahead of Cook in my very, very draft side that I binned halfway through.
Yep.
But just for the price saving, the fact he ended up finishing only 2 points behind in average last season. So I think Cook ended up with 76. He had a lot of... His ceiling is obviously a lot higher, and those are the games you want him for. But Cameron Smith, in terms of consistency...
And he's, as say, we spoke about it with Moses before, he's kicking, so he's got that...
Crafty.
That floor.
Mm. So what he made, what he loses in base compared to like a guy like Hodgson or Damien Cook is that he just creates so much. So he's always got a forced drop out around the corner. And
that's it. And there's the old JT unicorn points that seem to go to
Cam Smith. I think they ran out last season. But that's it. So he's always going to be involved. So, I mean, not he's an option that I've locked in there over Cook. So,
yeah, I can't argue it. But I can't argue it. I mean, as you said, 2 points difference. So what's that, 50 across the season? Mm. 20K price difference.
And we'll play an extra game.
There's nothing in it.
All things holding. So, yeah, for mine, he's a good option. So Cameron Munster, we talk about games against the likes of Titans and Warriors. This is a guy... who could absolutely go to town early on and get to that, you know, Gareth Widdop sort of 750K out of nowhere sort of price. Currently it's 644K and just a 5'8 this year. Doesn't just have the jewel. He's an absolute roller coaster. And
I was surprised to see him averaging 70 for the year.
The thing is, he will go through games and you'll watch him as an owner last season, and sometimes he can be quite uninvolved and just not get the attacking stats. But then you think, oh, he's a terrible game. He still finished just about every game with a 40 at least.
That's it. Lowest score for the year was a 40, which he'd done twice. But he had 7 games in the 40s and probably equal that above 80.
Hmm.
So he's really going, you know, rocks to diamonds in that regard. But it's a solid floor. And his ceiling is, well, he had 159 against Parramatta at Magic Round. So,
oh, yeah, we all remember that. Well, that's what he can do.
Yeah, that's it. So you did get a, 85 average between him and Gutho for that game. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a high price to pay in that 5'8 position, but he's, for mine, probably top shelf. Especially for that floor. Just means that you're not too worried about it. You know, in putting out some 15 or 20 horrible thing, and you can almost safely lock him in as like a captain option against these sort of dud sides.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You look at him for these dud sides and he just destroys them.
So for mine, I mean, I'll have to see how he fits into the side. I didn't get that far down to 5'8", but for mine, can't go wrong with him to start the year.
If you're looking at a gun 5'8", your choices are pretty thin. I mean, I'm actually surprised you've gone past Morgo, if I'm being completely honest. But that's not to say you don't have him in your halfback spot, because he is a jewel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got Munster, Cody Walker, Sean Johnson, and then Luke Keary comes in at number 4 in that position. Then going down the list a little bit, you know, Milford's, Morgan's.
Very much up and down.
Pretty thin at the top end of that.
Yep. So, I mean, if you want premium and you're confident enough to throw the cash his way, I mean, I don't see a lot of downside there, so I'm sure Munster will be a very popular one. Next one on the list, and obviously talk of last season, given how incredible his year was, but Ryan Pappenhausen, $508,000 fullback only, but at a points per minute last season, off the bench, randomly, utility, fullback, on occasion, 1.2 points per minute for a back. That is absolutely ridiculous. Insane. And he just kept it. It wasn't like it was a flash in the pan, like he had that big magic round and then, you know, it didn't kick on too well. It was almost every game he was slicing through.
You have a look at magic round, 119 points in 31 minutes.
Yeah, ridiculous.
3.84 PPM, don't mind if I do.
I mean, seven scores above 70 points as well. I think he played 12 or so games. That's bloody handy.
Well, I mean, he's priced at, what are we looking at, 5.10.
Yep.
He is on the cheaper end of that, you know, premium. But that's because he had a 3-minute game, a 12-minute game, a 6-minute game, a 1-minute game, 12-minute game, where he kept his price way down. But in 80-minute games, 95 average. Mm. 95 average.
Obviously, he's not going to
do that. No, he's not going to do that. But, I mean, that's top end of what he can do, and that's insane.
Yeah, in terms of people that have got room to move, even at that 500k price tag, I mean, he's almost set. Can you imagine him against the Titans and Warriors to start the year? I do not want to not own that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I'll see. I don't think it will be too hard to squeeze. The thing is, the fullback spot. So, for a couple of years now, it's been Teddy Turbo.
Yeah.
Lock that in. Now, all of a sudden, you got Teddy, you got an injury plagued Turbo. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting times.
It's really opened it up.
Yeah, I like it.
The thing that's thrown me off Teddy is his price, and it's simply that he's the most expensive guy in the game, and there's only one way that price can go, really, and that's down.
Yeah.
And it ties up a lot of resources to start with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big call sometimes you have to make. You make the sacrifice of the player, and you know, like, 50% are going to have them. And then you're going to miss those like big games. But if it means that you can afford a guy like Ryan Papenhuyzen...
I think I've got the question here. Is he a lock? And for me, he is.
Yeah, based on trials and injuries and all that pending.
And potential.
He's found his spot in that side. And the Storm finally have a settled spine for mine. So you've got Munster, Hughes, Smith, now Pap. So.
But that's it. So they've left... Croft played the majority in the halves last year with Hughes at fullback, which kept Papenhuyzen on the bench, but Croft gone, so Papenhuyzen has locked in that fullback spot.
Yep, agreed. I think it's probably enough about Pappy. Last one I had on my list here was Adokar. He's always a name that piques a bit of interest, just because
we'll talk about Vunivalu.
Sure.
And that
kind of like the Fusatua Mamalo.
Well, that's it. But it's that rule that you can't tackle the attacking guy, and that's just made for Vunivalu.
Mm. Oh, so you'd be going, so what's Vooney priced at? I didn't even have him.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I'd say sort of mid-300s based on how
he
wasn't
great last year by any means.
No base. He relies on attacking stats. He relies on getting, falling over the line.
So Vooney is 372.
Ooh, close.
Yeah.
So you're getting 120k cheaper than Adokar, about 200k more, less than Mamalo.
Mate, he's cheaper than Justin Olam and Marion Seve.
Surprising.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he said it had a bad year.
Yeah.
That one huge game where he scored 3 first half tries against the Raiders in about round 2, I think it was, and then did nothing for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but again, bargain basement for, I wouldn't say fallen gun, but definitely a guy that can turn, that sort of price into 500k quite easily and quite quickly.
With the Fox, there's been a lot of talk about him being shopped around.
Rumblings.
So, I don't know, the Momorowski trade, the Brinko signing, to me it kind of says we're planning for the future, we're looking ahead.
Yeah.
Maybe something's happening, maybe something's not, but...
They've definitely got some insurance options there, but hard to see. He's like such a gun player and a quality side. I don't know what goes through their heads. Money, I'm assuming.
Money.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Right, I'd do the same. One more name for you just quickly before we wrap it up. Kafusi. Felicity Kafusi. He's got a 46 average last year. Not injury affected or anything. He played 22 games, mostly at 80. Just had a bad year, and he averaged 60 from the previous 2 years.
What was his price?
426.
So parallel with Lockie Fitz there.
Yeah.
Almost exactly. So Fitzy and Kafusi had those big years.
20K between them. So yeah. So they're kind of in that mid-range, and they both sort of, 15... points lower than what they have done in the past.
Is it just that awkward price? I always hate awkward. Bringing those sort of guys in. Sometimes you have to do it to start the year, but
that's it. And if the cheapies aren't there, you've got to downgrade some of those top end guys. And these are sort of the dudes I'm looking at.
Interesting. Cool. All right. I think that probably brings us to the end of our
hour long. 2 hours.
Yeah. Just play us on at least 1.5 speed. Get it through on your way to work.
And have a drink in hand.
Yeah, oh, that's it. You'll need it
to get through it.
I need it to get through this rearranging the Supercoach side. But nonetheless, good to have you back, mate. Thanks for helping me out with this litany of players. It's helped a little bit in terms of unclouding, but. It's also clouded some other areas.
We've got a long way to go. Even looking at just what we're doing, we're only halfway through the team.
We've already laid out a stake bet, though. So,
That's it. I can pretty much wrap up my preseason now. Let's go.
It's been a productive off season. So, Cowboys v Knights, we'll be riding that one for the season. So, thanks, Lakey. Good to have you back, mate.
Thanks, man.
We'll catch you next pod where we do the next few teams.
Look forward to it.